20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Recording a little bit different than usual. I'm a little bit later here on a Wednesday. Got to Tuesday night, was home a little bit late, wanted to throw on the Mecole Hardman tape. Got to Mecole Hardman, got through everything, had to upload the other podcast, and I looked up and it was 2 a.m. and I'm like, Ross Uglum did a great job with Kent Swanson putting out an emergency pod. And instead of being a zombie on Wednesday, I figured I'd get a little bit of sleep and record it a little bit later on Wednesday. So my apologies for the delay on today's episode, but should be a fun one, breaking down the Mecole Hardman signing, what he can bring to the team in 2025, and what this means for the Packers. Before we get there, first of all, shout out to Jordan Kispo, Jonathan Hulk, Tony Flaminio, and Stefan Knapp for becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Appreciate you guys a ton for signing up. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, now is definitely the time to do so. Members only Q&As and a lot of other great stuff out there for you, so make sure to check that out when you have a chance. Meanwhile, from a news and notes standpoint, Aaron Banks, his signing is officially official, as Ian Rappaport would say, and he is now a Green Bay Packer, announced by the team. The contract is signed, sealed, and delivered, and any angst, anxiety, or nervousness about, oh my goodness, is this actually going to get done? Could there be some sort of issue where the contract doesn't get signed, or there's an injury issue, or whatever it might be, is over and done with. He is now officially a member of the Green Bay Packers. And before we get to Mecole Hardman, we have one last update, at least for today, on the Aaron Rodgers watch 2025. The Minnesota Vikings are apparently moving forward with J.J. McCarthy as their starter. A variety of different reports, but Tom Pelissero has noted that the Vikings have received multiple trade requests for J.J. McCarthy, and they have told teams that they are moving forward with McCarthy as their starting quarterback. Now, it's still a bit interesting. This entire saga with the Vikings has been, the opportunity to just bring back Sam Darnold was there. The contract that he got in Seattle is what is akin to a one-year deal with two team options on top of it. Basically like $35 million guaranteed in 2025. If they wanted to go and bring Darnold back and keep him in hand so that they didn't have to go with McCarthy this season, they could have, and they didn't. That was a very palatable contract for them to sign if they wanted to, and they didn't, which would again immediately lead you to believe that, all right, McCarthy's the guy. But then there continues to be sort of these flirtations with other potential quarterbacks and whether or not they were interested in Rodgers or not, which it sounds like they never really were, depending on who you kind of listen to. And then there were the Daniel Jones sort of situation, some words that they were interested in other quarterbacks. It just never felt like they were really like all in on J.J. McCarthy, which has been interesting, but it does now seem like McCarthy is going to be their quarterback moving forward. It sounds like they still have interest in a veteran backup. I'm not sure who that's going to end up being, maybe a Joe Flacco or somebody like that. But for now, J.J. McCarthy is the starter, and it seems like the J.J. McCarthy era has officially started. It would also seem that that leaves three options for Aaron Rodgers. I guess kind of four. The one would be the Steelers. The two would be the Giants. Three would be retire. And then I guess the fourth would be just sit and wait and see if maybe there's a quarterback opening later in the year if somebody were to get hurt and maybe make that decision later on. Maybe you don't have to go to training camp that way. That could be a different way that Aaron could look at it. But in reality, it would seem Steelers, Giants, or retirement are probably his top three options. So that is the latest. More importantly, I think on the Minnesota Vikings for what they're going to do at quarterback and the fact that it does seem like they're moving forward with J.J. McCarthy, but that is the latest on the Aaron Rodgers saga as well. And that brings us to the one, the only, the one that everyone's been waiting for, Mecole Hardman, and what he means for the Green Bay Packers. Man, there's a lot I want to say on this. The immediate vitriol and angst and frustration, and I get it's probably a loud handful and not maybe the overarching majority of Packers fans, but the immediate, that's not DK Metcalf. That's not Devontae Adams. What are we doing? Goot's an idiot. What is this supposed to be? Mecole Hardman's your answer, a wide receiver? You have a wide receiver need and Mecole Hardman is it? That's what you're going to do? Mecole Hardman, in all likelihood, we haven't seen the terms of the deal other than that's a one-year deal, is a back-of-the-roster free agent signing, the exact type of move that you're supposed to be doing this type of year. I don't know who needs to hear this still. Free agency is done. It is over. There is nobody else out there in free agency at wide receiver or defensive end that Green Bay can sign that is going to add to this team in any way. It's dead. We have reached the dead period. We've reached the value free agent signing period, which is where Goody has done some good work in the past. Guys like Keyshawn Nixon, you know, come to mind. Rick Wagner, Devondre Campbell. There have been some very good free agent signs. Obviously, some like practice squad guys like Alan Lazard and, you know, Bo Melton. Obviously, Rasul Douglas that he signed off of practice squads. Guys like Malik Willis, who he's traded a 7th round pick for, and, you know, right as training camp was ending and right before the start of the season, there are a lot of value sort of players that Goody has found. Chris Brooks this past year, just out of nowhere, was a player that was waived by Miami. They bring him to the practice squad and then quickly realize he's a 53-man guy and bring him up to the 53-man roster. Goody knows how to sort of find these players. It's where he does a lot of his great work. But this is more likely a back of the roster sort of competition signing than anything else. I'll say one more time, exactly what Goody should be doing at this point in time in free agency. This is value free agent time. There's no more big time free agents left. The contract that Mecole Hardman signed 2 years ago with the Jets was 1 year, $4 million. A good chunk of it was guaranteed. Almost all of it was guaranteed. That would be the very high end of a contract. Now, if that much is guaranteed, he's going to make the team, right? The contract he signed last year in Kansas City was a 1 year, $1.13 million deal, $0 guaranteed. Not a single penny of that contract was guaranteed. That was his deal with KC last year. In the meantime, this past year, he was targeted 14 times, caught 12 passes for 90 yards, had 5 carries for 62 yards and a touchdown. He touched the ball on offense 17 times. It is not exactly like he went out there in the past 365 days and upped his free agency value in any sort of significant way whatsoever. My guess, not seeing the deal yet, that this is something that's probably very similar to the 1 year vet minimum signing that he received a year ago with very little, if anything, guaranteed. I'm guessing he probably got something, maybe a quarter of a million, 250,000, something like that as a signing bonus. And maybe it's more of like a 1 year, $1.5 to maybe $2 million deal with, again, a very small bonus. What that would tell you, if that is the case, is that Mecole Hardman has to come in and make this team, that he is not guaranteed to make it. Unless it's something where it's like $1 million or more that's guaranteed and it's like a $2 to $3 million deal or something like that. The guarantees will tell the story here. There's sort of three contract structures that I could see this being. If this is the 1 year vet minimum, no guarantee, this is a beautiful signing for Goody. It's exactly what you want. Zero risk, maybe some reward as a returner, kick returner, punt returner, gadget wide receiver if he makes the team. No risk. Maybe it's a 1 year, $2 to $3 million deal with a little bit of guarantees, which again would tell you that he's got to make the team. And if you eat a little bit of dead salary cap because you signed him to a $250,000 signing bonus to come in and compete in camp and you have to eat that, that it happens all the time. You spend sometimes more than that on undrafted free agents. So that is a nothing burger. It doesn't even matter. And in fact, his likelihood of making the team in that situation actually goes down because Bo Melton and Malik Heath and any rookie that they get is going to actually be making more, will be younger, and will have more team control than what Mecole Hardman will have. So if he's the bigger deal that he signs, if it's not a like fully guaranteed deal, the actual less likely it is that he makes the team because he's going to be at a natural disadvantage based on his contract. The other players on the roster that he's competing against will be younger and cheaper and have more years of team control. They'll have baked in advantages. Mecole Hardman will not. So he's going to have to work harder to make the team if that's the case. Now, as far as the angst, frustration, anger, if this is a 1 year, $5 million, you know, with $4 million guaranteed or something like that, yeah, then that's silly. Then we're in silly town and that was a weird move by Brian Gutekunst. Then I'm very confused as to what that will be. Complaining about this deal without knowing the full terms of the contract and in all likelihood knowing that it's going to be a 1 year vet minimum sort of or right adjacent to that with very little minimal guarantees in this deal makes zero sense to me whatsoever. And by all means, fan however you want to fan, it seems beyond exhausting to me. Just me, you do you, just me. It seems beyond exhausting that if your frustration and anger is coming out on a March 18th Mecole Hardman signing, as a back of the roster, maybe makes the team, maybe doesn't sort of guy, a complete flyaway or like just giveaway transaction. It means nothing. I don't know how you do it. I honestly don't. I don't know. Like it's reached the point then where how is it fun? How is being a fan of a team fun anymore? If like, were you upset when Green Bay signed Tulu Griffin? Tulu Griffin's a back of the roster wide receiver that Green Bay signed as a futures free agent deal and is on this roster. That Tulu Griffin is a name that's an actual wide receiver on this Packers roster. You probably didn't know that. I could be making that up right now. You wouldn't know any different. But Tulu Griffin is an actual wide receiver on this roster. Were you upset when Brian Gutekunst signed Tulu Griffin to a deal? You have 90 roster spots to play with. 90 roster spots. You are not going to fail them with 90 first team all pros. There are going to be players from a variety of different tiers, whether it's undrafted free agents, whether it's a futures free agent deal, whether it is a huge contract for Jordan Love, whether it is anything in between that. You're going to have guys that have to go out and earn their roster spots on this team and make the team, and in all likelihood, that is what Mecole Hardman is. He is competition for any undrafted wide receivers, any bottom of the depth chart wide receivers, any late round draft picks, as well as guys like Bo Melton and Malik Heath. That is what this is being brought in for, is competition for the back end of your roster. And by the way, if he ends up anything more than that, that is probably a very good thing. You invested probably almost nothing in him and you are getting something in return that in and of itself is very good value, which would make it a good free agent signing. And by the way, if he doesn't work out, assuming that there isn't some sort of substantial guarantee in this, then you didn't lose anything anyway. You brought in competition, and the good news is your younger guys won. That Malik Heath and Bo Melton or any draft pick that you had beat out Mecole Hardman. Guess what? That's a great sign as well. That's not a bad thing either. These are the exact sort of moves that Brian Gutekunst should be making at this point in free agency. And I see immediately, well, it's just, you're just defending Brian Gutekunst. And this is, you're saying that Mecole Hardman is a great move. No, I'm not saying Mecole Hardman moves the needle in any sort of significant way. I'm not saying that he saves the franchise. I'm not saying that this is the answer to the wide receiver room. It's nothing like that. It's just that you have to understand that at this point of year in value free agency time, these are the sort of deals that are available. You're looking for very minimal risk with maybe some reward. This is the sort of deal that you should be looking for at this point in time. Does it move the needle? Does it solve the equation? Does it make Green Bay a Super Bowl contender? Is he going to become an all-pro in Green Bay? No, that's not what this is for, though. You did your big free agent shopping a week ago with Aaron Banks and with Nate Hobbs. Those were your big free agent signings. You may not like those free agent signings. That's fine. How you feel about how Goody spent his money, that's your prerogative. And I can understand the feeling of, it's fine. Totally get that. But like the immediate anger, it's just Mecole Hardman. What were you expecting at this point in time? We've talked about it at length. There's no wide receivers that are out there that Green Bay could sign that are going to be like a top of the roster wide receiver. And no, Amari Cooper is not that either. Like I talked about it the other day. You have to have one of three things if you're going to be a wide receiver in this league: run after the catch, deep speed ability, or separation ability, like route running separation, right? You better have one of those three things in today's NFL. And he has run after the catch. He's got the 4.340 speed. He can separate after the catch. You can use him in some gadget ways, kick returner, punt returner. That's his superpower. He's a 4.340 guy coming out of college, and he still looks very, very fast on tape. That's what he's got. You might think like a 4.340 guy, he's going to be a deep ball threat. He's really not. He does have that speed, so you have to at least be aware of him if you're a defense, but he hasn't shown the propensity to be a, 50, 60 yard reception guy down the field. That's not what he's actually done. So maybe there's a little bit of that in his game that you can tap into, but it hasn't really shown up in KC, and they've had Patrick Mahomes there. So you would think maybe it would at some point. It just really hasn't. So he's not really a major deep threat. He's not a great like route running separator, although he does have two really good routes in his route tree, as I watched his tape yesterday. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But this is a guy who has blazing speed, run after the catch, and a kick return and punt return ability. That's why you're bringing him in. Competition at wide receiver, at bottom of the roster wide receiver, bottom of the depth chart wide receiver, not number one, number two, number three. It's not why he's being brought in. And then competition at kick returner and punt returner. Say one more time. These are the sort of value free agent deals that you should be looking for at this stage of free agency. We'll know more when the contract comes out. And again, if this is a 1 year, $5 million with a bunch of guarantees in it, I'll have a lot more of like, what the hell was that? And we'll talk about it at that time. I'll be pretty stunned if that's the case. And again, just going back to last year, 1 year, $1 million deal, no guarantees for KC. And he's done basically nothing since then. I can't imagine now that Goody's going to go and be like, you know what? $5 million guaranteed, something like that. It's just not going to happen. So if it does, we'll talk about it. And we can express, you know, some more angst and frustration and, you know, heated words at that point in time, maybe towards that sort of deal. And I would get it. I would totally understand it. I would be on that boat as well. But as a likely closer to vet minimum guy, it's exactly what you want. It's exactly the type of wide receiver that you're looking for at this point in time. I'll say you have a 90-man roster to play with. 90-man roster. You're going to cut at least 37 of these guys, probably more, because you're going to probably churn through some guys during camp. And, you know, you might bring in some guys via waivers and trades at the end of the you know, training camp and cut down time. So you have like 40 of these guys that you have on your 90-man roster are probably not making the 53-man roster at least. It's probably one of those. I think it's closer to being a cut down guy than he is probably an impact player, but that's okay. That's going to happen. And if he does make an impact, then it's a great signing. So again, no risk here. There's nothing to be upset by. It's a normal March 19th sort of deal, if you're looking at it that way. I don't think it changes anything from a draft standpoint. Some people, oh no, Green Bay is not going to draft a wide receiver. It doesn't change a thing. It does not change a thing. Green Bay has three wide receivers as of right now that they are counting on this season. Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs. They'll see later on what happens with Christian Watson based on his injury. They're not making any draft decisions based on Bo Melton, even though I love Bo Melton. They're not making any draft decisions on based on having Malik Heath on the roster, although I like Malik Heath. They're not making any draft decisions based on Mecole Hardman or Tulu Griffin or any other wide receiver that is on the roster. They know they need depth. They know they need competition. They know that they are looking at an offseason next year that could see them losing Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson in free agency. They will be very active looking at wide receivers in this draft. Whether or not that is good enough and whether or not that makes you a complete wide receiver room, that is a fair conversation to have. And I will say, I understand the overall, maybe slight disappointment. I don't understand the anger, but I understand the disappointment of no top tier pass rusher that Green Bay was able to get. Although I will repeat once again, outside of Josh Sweat, that market really just did not materialize at all, not even remotely the way that we thought it was going to. Many players re-signed with their own team. Those big trades that we thought might be available have all not come to fruition. Crosby and Garrett were off the market, and it looks like Hendrickson's going to end up being the same way. So it just didn't materialize the way that we thought it would. Defensive tackle, Osa Odighizuwa re-signed with Dallas. I mean, Milton Williams was the big one. He got a massive contract in New England, and New England just looked like they were going to outbid anyone for his services. So these guys just weren't available that we were hoping were going to be available. And we knew at wide receiver, it was Metcalf or Adams or bust. And Metcalf got a massive deal going to Pittsburgh, and Adams got the deal he wanted in LA. You weren't going to beat it out. So I understand the overarching of like, you wanted something big and you got Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs, two good players, but it feels a little different than Josh Jacobs and David McKinney a season ago. No question about it. Just wasn't much there. We've talked about that as well. What deal would you have done? What would have made you happy? I don't know. You know, I don't know that there was something out there that Green Bay could have done that would have satiated Packers fans' thirst for something major to happen this offseason. I just don't think the offseason materialized the way that Packers fans would have liked to have think or thought that it would have. That's as simple as I can put it. Now, as far as Mecole Hardman, doesn't change the draft philosophy. Right now, it's just depth and competition. He's a fun player, though. I actually really enjoyed the very small amount of snaps that he had on tape, 100-some snaps that he played in KC this last year, but I think there's something there. As far as his profile goes, second-round pick, 56th overall in the 2019 NFL draft, 5'11", 183, not the biggest guy in the world. Just turned 27 on March 12th. So, I mean, a week ago, he turned 27 years old, still young. Still in the prime of his career. This is not a 31-year-old Mecole Hardman who's lost a step. He is still very, very fast. An 8.30 relative athletic score coming out of college. The only thing that really brought that down was his height and weight. Everything else he tested very well. 82nd percentile in the bench press, 77th percentile in the vertical jump, 52nd percentile in the broad jump, 99th percentile in the 40 with a 4.33 40-yard dash, 58th percent in the three cone, or sorry, in the short shuttle, and 90th percentile in the three cone. Very, very talented player coming out of college. His stats, this last year he had 14 targets, 12 catches, 90 yards, and 6 first downs. 5 carries, 62 yards, a touchdown, and 2 first downs. You do love seeing that. It was 8 first downs on, 17 touches. It's not a bad ratio. His best season was 2021 when he had 59 catches for 693 yards, 2 touchdowns, 8 carries, and 46 yards. And in his career, he's been targeted 258 times for 178 catches, 2,302 yards, and 12.9 yards per reception. For Pro Football Focus, he has 2,494 career snaps. In 2019, it's worth noting here, the average PFF grade is 60, right? So in 2019, his rookie year, had 529 snaps at a 68.1 grade. 2020, he had 591 snaps with a 69.0 grade. 2021 was his best season, 723 snaps with a 70.2 grade. 2022, he had 318 snaps with a 68.2 grade. Then had that really bizarro stint with the Jets in 2023. Didn't work out. He had one catch with the Jets. They trade him to KC, ended up being the Super Bowl hero in that Super Bowl, ended up with the game-winning catch. 218 snaps, 55.2 grade, his only time below average per PFF was in 2023. 2024, he got 115 snaps this past year. These are all just on offense, by the way. 72.8 grade this past year. When he was on the field, he actually looked fine. He looked good. He was again, there's not a major weapon here, but you can put him on the field and easily he can be like a piece for you. I don't have any major concern about that. Per PFF, again, he was targeted 14 times, 12 completions for 90 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions when targeted, a 93.5 passer rating. In his career, 284 targets, 205 catches, 72.2% completion percentage, 2,590 yards, 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions when targeted. He had 0 drops last year. That will make Packer fans happy. He's had 4 drops in the last 3 years combined. Does have 3 fumbles on offense in his career. From a return standpoint, this past year he had 20 punt returns for 203 yards, a 10.2 yards per return average. So it's a very good average as a punt returner. Also had 5 kick returns for 132 yards, a 26.4 average. Solid average there. Not many returns though. In his career, he's got 89 punt returns for 819 yards, a 9.2 yard average, and 1 touchdown. And 45 kick returns for 1,073 yards, a 23.8 yard average, and a touchdown as a kick returner. He was a second team All Pro and a Pro Bowler as a kick returner slash punt returner in his rookie season. His scouting report, this was coming out of the draft. This is per Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. Worth noting here that he did not play wide receiver until college. He was a DB coming out of high school that transitioned to wide receiver when he got to college. So he was relatively inexperienced at wide receiver when he was going into the draft. Here was the scouting report. Raw but explosive with bursts to uncover underneath and a second gear to threaten over the top. Hardman is a relative newcomer to the position and it shows up at times in routes and his struggles competing for the ball in traffic. Hardman could develop into a lesser version of Tyreek Hill, a much, much, much lesser version of Tyreek Hill, with his playmaking potential after the catch on deep balls and as a returner. Speed kills in today's game, and Hardman could be covered or coveted in day 2, rounds 2 through 3, which again, he was taken on day 2 of the draft. As I went back and watched those 100 plus snaps from this past season, here were some positives and negatives that I noticed on tape. Positives, first of all, is returnability. As I mentioned, he was a Pro Bowler and a second team All Pro as a rookie. He has continued to flash the ability to do both of those things. I think he'd be an immediate upgrade at punt returner for anyone that's been on the roster. He catches the ball clean. He's dangerous with the ball in his hand. So I think as of right now, if there were a game tomorrow and you got to use everyone on the roster, I think Mecole Hardman would be your punt returner. I think Keyshawn still makes sense as a kick returner, but if you want to just use him as a corner because he's your arguably your top corner right now, then I could understand putting Hardman back there as a kick returner as well. But he would immediately be Green Bay's best punt returner, in my opinion. He has great acceleration and movement skills still. So that speed is still there. 4.340 coming out. I don't know if he'd still test as a 4.340, but the speed is very evident on tape. The acceleration is what I love. So they use him on these little bubble screens, as you can imagine, screen and just boom, acceleration is there and he's immediately fast. Like there's no ramp up. It's just 0 to fast in a millisecond. So you love that ability to accelerate quickly. And the movement skills I love as well. There are players who have that, like, you know, big time juke and they do a little dancing, and sometimes you can get stuck because you're just going horizontal. What I love about Hardman is he's got these little subtle movements side to side as he's accelerating up the field. So it's a continuous forward progression for him, but there's enough wiggle in there that it's still sort of tough to exactly anticipate where he's going to go. I really like that aspect of his game, and I like his overall agility, acceleration, speed, movements. Like, it's all there. He's still got some very, 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 very good movement skills. They used him a lot in KC as a gadget guy and decoy guy. A lot of fake end arounds and reverses, and he's not a great blocker, which we'll talk about in just a moment, but KC used him in ways where he still took defenders with him because they were worried about either his horizontal or vertical speed. So if you put him in motion, in a run play that's going to the right, but you motion him to the left and you either fake that end around or reverse, you're bringing defenders with him. So it's like he's blocking them, even though he doesn't have to block them. And I thought they did a great job of utilizing him in that way to sort of mitigate some of that lack of run blocking ability. And they did a really nice job of kind of utilizing him as that decoy within the offense. As far as routes go, he's not the most diverse route runner in the world, but there are a few routes that I think serve him very, very well. Runs a very, very nice out and up. And then we talk about that ability to that unique movement ability of just kind of accelerating upfield while still making movements within it. The little fake to the outside and getting up on the out and up looks very, very smooth, very, very clean. So he runs that route very well. Runs a whip route to perfection. That's where he caught that game-winning Super Bowl catch, but it showed up on tape multiple times last year as well. Just a little cut inside and then a cut aggressively outside, and they start going with him on that little almost like crosser, and then he cuts the opposite way, and he can get some really easy separation that way. So that's a really nice route for him. And then the deep and intermediate crossers, especially the intermediate ones. I should say it differently. The short and intermediate crossers, not so much the deep ones, but those crossing routes where he can utilize that 4.340 speed and just separate through the course of the route, that is something that he runs very well also. So out and up, crossing routes, whip routes, those are the ones where he finds his success. The nice thing about Hardman is you kind of feel like, oh, he's this gadget guy and he's just maybe like a slot wide receiver. And well, Green Bay doesn't really need a gadget slot guy. They got Jaden Reed. We can put Wicks in the slot. Like, they've got these different pieces. Well, you can line Hardman up everywhere. In fact, he had more outside wide receiver snaps than slot wide receiver snaps this past year. So you can line him up outside, which is really nice. You can put him in the slot. You can put him in the backfield. KC used him a little bit of everywhere. So that's like one really nice aspect of his game is you can line him up multiple spots, including outside at wide receiver. We talked about the speed, but that really equates to run after the catch. You do see him have that burst. And again, we're not talking about this like big time playmaker, but you run a bubble screen to him, he's going to have that ability to make something happen after the catch with it. Change of direction is good. He's a really nice scheme fit. Like, he fits what Matt LaFleur wants, the ability to play at all the wide receiver positions, speed after the catch, a guy that you can scheme up a little bit. And Matt LaFleur does well with those type of players. Think back to like even a Tyler Irvin. Like, this is a much better version of Tyler Irvin. So if you like Tyler Irvin as like that bit piece in the offense where you can bring him in and do a couple things, Mecole Hardman's a better version of that. So I think this is kind of your Tyler Irvin sort of signing, if nothing else. And again, we saw Matt LaFleur find a way to utilize him. I know Irvin was a running back kick returner with that lined up at wide receiver sometimes. Hardman's more of a wide receiver kick returner that can line up at running back at times, but think of it very similarly in that type of vein. He has a very, minimal wear and tear on his body. He hasn't played a ton, despite this being, you know, what is like seventh year in the NFL, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, seventh year in the NFL. He hasn't played a ton. So it's not like he's had all of this wear and tear on his body. And in fact, last year, only 115 snaps, 218 the year before that. Talking about somebody who's played 333 snaps of offense over the past 2 years combined. So he should be fresh. He shouldn't have a bunch of wear and tear and just break down on his body. And that's a good thing when you're picking up, somebody who's in the seventh year of their career. He's still in the prime of his career, catches the ball well. We talked about very minimal drops over the last few seasons. He's basically been a chief his entire career. He's had one catch with the Jets, but otherwise he's been a chief. That Jets year went disastrous. And it just, from the Jets standpoint, from like, it just didn't fit there. But sometimes when you get a player who gets in a new scheme, sometimes you unlock something and maybe they use him in a slightly different way. Now, he came from having Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback And Andy Reid is a coordinator who knows how to utilize and scheme these guys. So I'm not saying he was in this barren wasteland and some team that didn't know how to use him. But every once in a while, you get a new coat of paint, you get a fresh opportunity, and maybe Green Bay views him a little bit differently or how to use him. And maybe that works out for Mecole Hardman. I'm not necessarily expecting that. Again, I'll say once more, I think there's a better chance he doesn't make the team than that he's an impact player. But sometimes you get that fresh coat of paint and maybe it's just something new for the player and something clicks and you get a little bit more than what he maybe was in his previous spot. So maybe there's something there. And then, of course, he does have playoff and Super Bowl experience as well, which is never a bad thing to add to your roster. Some negatives. Again, he's not a great blocker on the outside. You have to kind of use him more as a decoy. He's got 52 catches combined in his last 3 years. Or in his last 3 years combined, I should say. So this is not a big time production player. This is a back of the roster rotation type piece where maybe you get a little something out of, but you shouldn't expect anything major. You know, he is coming from a very creative Andy Reid offense. So if you're hoping that this new offense will unlock him in some way, it's a little bit of a leap to try to get there. Size isn't great. Again, he can get out muscled on some of the contested catch opportunities and things like that. Did have a knee injury late in last season, so that'll be worth monitoring. I'm assuming if Green Bay is signing him, they feel very comfortable with that, but just something to kind of keep an eye on. Not the most savvy route runner. He doesn't have this huge bag of releases off the line of scrimmage or all these different routes he can run, but the ones that he's good at, he is very good at. And the idea that he's this like deep ball wide receiver, his longest reception since 2022 has been 37 yards. Again, this is primarily playing with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback. So if you're thinking he's going to come in and catch all these deep balls down the field, I wouldn't get super excited for that. That is not something he's actually put on tape very much in his career at all. As far as how he could fit in Green Bay, kick returner, punt returner, depth and competition at wide receiver, probably somewhere in that number four to number six wide receiver role at absolute best. Again, I think he's going to have to earn his spot on this team. I don't think it's a lock that he makes it. Again, depending on the contract, if all of a sudden there's $2 to $4 million guaranteed, then yeah, he's probably going to make it and look to him more as like that gadget type wide receiver, Tyler Irvin role plus kick returner, punt returner. But my guess is this is, again, more somewhere where he's going to actually have to make the team. But we'll look at that contract when it comes out and what it actually means as to whether or not he's a lock to make the team or if he's going to have to go out and earn it in training camp. To me, this is Goody doing Goody work in value free agency. And I'll just say, like, this is that time of year. And we have to transition from, oh, they could get a big player, to, all right, they're going to bring in a couple of small pieces and let's see what they can do. I don't see anything out there that makes any sort of impact from a free agent signing standpoint, any sort of significance. So I'll add it one more time. This is the type of deals Green Bay should be doing at this stage of free agency. A little bit of high reward. I don't even know if I'll say high reward, but a little bit of reward with very, 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 very minimal risk. Like the deal, like the signing, it doesn't get me super pumped up or jacked up. It shouldn't. If you're leaving this conversation today being like, oh my goodness, Mecole Hardman, big time free agent signing, That's probably a step too far. If you're leaving this being like, I freaking hate Goody. What is he doing? This is just a stupid wider. I don't know. I don't understand that logic either. It's just, again, something that you should be doing to add these sort of pieces to the back end of your room that can come in and compete for a spot. And if he makes it, great. If he doesn't, no harm, no foul. That's how I view it. I appreciate you guys being here. Thanks so much again for your patience with a little bit of a later episode today. I'll be right back here tomorrow with an all new episode. So make sure to check that out. Subscribe, like, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Appreciate that a ton. Shout out to our All Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, and Jake Conner. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.